training being one-pointed. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Training being one-pointed. We have so many things that make demands upon our life. We have so many activities that we are involved in. We are doing such a variety of things that we sometimes think that we're not being one-pointed. We sometimes think that we're not learning how to really be one-pointed and being one-pointed effectively in our life. Having many variety of things, having many things that we are involved in, having many things that take our attention, is just one of the wonderful arts that we're learning of being one-pointed. For if we were not able and practicing being one-pointed in a very effective and a very dynamic way, we would not experience all of the joy that life has to offer to us. Life has to offer so many interesting things, so many interesting experiences, and we sometimes don't recognize how diverse we are and how unique we are and how involved we are in so many different things because of the art that we have taught ourselves from the very beginning, the art of being one-pointed. We can concentrate on one thing at a time and yet be concentrating on many things at a time. That sounds like a confusing statement, but think about it. We are able to concentrate on reading a book. Someone draws our attention and says, "Hey, got a minute? I want to ask you a question." "Sure, go ahead." We set the book aside. We put a marker on our page. We close the book. And we say, "Yes, what is it you'd like to talk about?" "Well, I was thinking how it'd be nice to build a boat. And the idea just struck me, and I thought I'd better ask you right now." "Okay, what is your idea?" "Well, I want to build a boat, and I want it to be a fun boat, a boat that I can take out into the lake, Well, now, building a boat is a wonderful thing. Buying a boat is a wonderful thing. And finding a boat is equally wonderful. You could go around the lakeside here, and you could find many boats that people don't want anymore, and they would sell to you for a very low price, if not even giving it to you. But what is it you want to do with the boat?" "Well, I want to use it for fun in the lake." "Okay, well, let's just take a walk around the lake here and see people who have boats for that they're not using, or boats for sale." So you walk around the lake, and you come up to one lady's house, and there she is sitting on her front porch, enjoying her magazine, and you say, "Morning, Mrs. Brown, how are you doing?" And she says, "Well, boys, how are you today? What are you up to?" "Well, we're looking for a boat. We want to have John here wants to have a boat, and he wants to have the boat to go playing around the lake." "Well, good. And I thought I'd walk along with him and help him try to find it." "Well, boys, I have a boat in the garage. And it's been sitting there for, well, since my husband passed away, about 5 years ago. And I doubt that I'm going to ever do anything with it. Now, would you like to haul it down and take a look at it and see what you think you could do with it?" "Oh, Mrs. Brown, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful." And so the boys go in the garage, and they bring this boat down. And it's quite a nice little boat. It's very dried out. It's a very nice boat, but it's very dried out. So they say, "Well, it's very dried out. It probably won't float very well, but then we give her a check." And Mrs. Brown says, "Well, boys, I tell you, I have that garage. It's been bothering me ever since my husband moved on, and I'd like to clean it out a little bit. I'd like to get rid of a lot of junk that's in there, and I'd like to just make it more useful for me as a garage, because it has so many of my husband's tools and things in there that I'll never use, and perhaps you find some use for them yourself. Now, if you'll clean out the garage for me, I'll give you that boat. Wow, hey, that's a wonderful thought. One pointedly, the boys began thinking of cleaning the garage. One pointedly, the boys thought about the boat, and it was kind of dried out. One pointedly, the boys stopped at Mrs. Brown's house and talked to her and asked her about a boat and about the things they were looking for. And one pointedly, Mrs. Brown stopped reading her magazine, and she turned from telling them about the boat that's out there to telling them one pointedly about her husband who had passed away, to telling them about the fact she'd like to have the garage cleaned up, to telling them one pointedly about the idea that she'd like to have the garage cleaned up, and if they'd clean it, she'd give them the boat. And little by little, all sorts of things came out of that one little search for a boat. Now, we can one pointedly think of many, many things because it's just our nature to do it. We stop whatever else we're doing. We put the magazine aside, put the book aside. We take a walk around the lake. We talk to Mrs. Brown. We see her boat in the garage, and we take the boat and we put it in the lake. And we tie it to the pier. And then we go back into the garage and we look around to see what has to be done. And so right away, well, our day is open. Right away, we start cleaning up the garage for her. And by lunch, we've got the garage pretty well discombobulated. We got things everywhere and every which way. And Mrs. Brown comes out and sees what we're doing and says, "Well, boys, you're certainly industrious. You certainly deserve to have some lunch. Now, I've made some sandwiches. Will you come in and join me?" "Oh, yes, Mrs. Brown, yes, yes." And so we go and join Mrs. Brown and have lunch with her. And she has wonderful sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly and cheese and ham and all sorts of toasted sandwiches. And, oh, that looks so good. And big glasses of milk and, wow. She says, "Boys, I haven't had anybody sit at my table for a long time. It's so nice to have somebody else sitting here. Thank you for joining me." "Well, Mrs. Brown, we're the honored ones. My goodness sakes, thank you." And she says, "Well, how are we coming in the garage?" Well, after eating and helping her wash the dishes and put them away and clean up the few little things we had for lunch, we went out to the garage and looked around, and what did we see in the garage? We saw all these things that we were taking off the shelves and cleaning off things and then getting down to basics and then say, "Okay, now, what would you like to put back? What would you like to keep here of all these things that you have?" And the boys had no aspiration, no inspiration to think that they wanted those things. They merely were doing a job for her of what she wanted, one-pointedly. And then Mrs. Brown says, "Well, now look, boys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put a set of tools at the workbench there, with a hammer and a screwdriver and a saw and so forth, so that I have those in case I want to ever use them or have some work done here. And then all of these other things, all these other projects that Daryl had been working on before he passed on, I'm not going to get to them, and nobody else is. Now, if you'd like to have them and if you'd like to work on them, that'd be just great." "Well, Mrs. Brown," John was always speaking up for us, "we don't have a garage. Now, would it be all right if we would clean up your garage, and then the things that we'd like to take that you don't want, that we could keep here in an orderly way, and we could work on them here, and that this could be our place where we could play?" And Mrs. Brown says, "Well, I think that's a wonderful idea. I'd like to have somebody around a little once in a while. It gets kind of quiet here when it's just me." And the boy said, "Well, wow." And so ever more diligently and ever more one-pointedly, they clean out the garage. They now clean out the garage with a new impact, having a set of tools for Mrs. Brown so it's all set for her, and then all the rest of the stuff they set in an orderly manner where they could use it for their own projects and for their own playing and for now for fixing up the boat for themselves. And she says, you know, boy, there's some varnish back there and some cans and things that get kind of old, and it might be good for your boat. It might just be the type of thing that you want to do on your boat. Oh, wow, yes. And so one thing leads to another. And one pointedly, they go from one project to another and one aspect to another. Training and being one-pointed is not something we really have to do. We do it naturally. We do it easily. We do it perfectly. Ours is to recognize that we do it. That we do this one-pointed training of ourselves in preparing ourselves for all the projects that life has to offer. And as we prepare ourselves for all the projects that life has to offer, the opportunity is there for us to do it. Now, I suppose you'd like to know how the boat came out. Well, they put the boat into the lake, and the boat sort of swelled up, and pretty soon it was nice and solid, and it was really a wonderful thing. And the boys said, wow, that is really great. So they took the boat out of the lake. It was now floating fine. And they put it up on shore, and they put it in the sun to let it dry out again. And then as it dried out, they took some of that varnish and some of the paint thinners and various things that she had, and they made a lacquer on the boat. And they made a really hard surface on the boat so that it would not ever have to sort of separate and dry out again. And after a couple of weeks of working on it, the boat became a thing of beauty, a thing of joy, such a marvelous thing, and they were able to go all over the lake with it and really enjoy it. But they also worked in the garage and made it look beautiful and clean, and even told Mrs. Brown, now Mrs. Brown, there's some wallboard there. If we take that wallboard and we put it on the walls of your garage, we can make the garage so it looks like a nice, beautiful room for you, so that it can be really beautiful for you to have in anything that you want to do. And Mrs. Brown says, boys, I'm so blessed to have run into you. You're a treasure for me. What you're doing for me and is putting life in me and making me feel just wonderful. Thank you for being you, and thank you for all you do. And we find training, being one-pointed, is something we do so naturally, something we do so beautifully and so independently, that life is just thrilled with joy as we do it. Make this your choice too, if you like, and just not a matter of that you're training to do things one-pointedly, you're training to recognize that you are all the time doing things and being one-pointed, because that is our nature, that is our way of doing things, that is our way of being, and it's a wonderful, beautiful way of being. Think about how wonderfully one-pointed you are in everything you do. And as you think about it, you'll realize, isn't that what life is all about? Just being ourselves and having fun, being one-pointed and doing that which turns us on. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.